Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Do it a little faster.
Rapper.
You still got it.
It's your girl Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And we are
Around the Way Curls.
Join us as we share our unique life experiences,
aka tell all our business,
and explore both the profound and the profane.
Because duality is a thing.
Yizzo! Hey, girl, hey.
Hi.
How's everything?
Everything's everything, queen. We are here together at my house. Not together, but together. Because we don't actually know how to record together. So you're in my bedroom. I'm in my living room. We making it happen, Captain.
Doing what we got to do.
Amen. How you doing, queen?
I'm good. We are also recording together because tomorrow morning, bright and squirrely, we're going to drive up to Canada. And I'm excited to ride through my six. I forgot what the slang was for Canada.
Ride through
for
the
Toronto.
Six with my woes. So that's not the slang? Is that the slang?
That's it. Riding through the six with my... Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. And God is good. God is good to have this opportunity to have the lifestyle and the possibility to explore someplace new. I hear y'all pretty. Y'all better fucking be pretty. That's all I got to say. I got to be turning my heads like, damn. Who that though? I'm trying to leave smitten. I'm trying to leave with at least a crush.
I'm trying to leave
with at least a memory. You know what I mean? Locking eyes at the very least.
Oh my God. Are you flirting in Toronto? I cannot wait. Because you flirting is a masterclass. Oh, I hit the mic. Sorry. It's a masterclass.
That's something to do. I wonder, what's their slang? Why am I acting
they
like
have
this?
Slang. What if they're all like Drake and corny?
Ooh, we'll let you know. BRB, we'll let you know. So I'm reaching out again to the community. You guys have not failed me yet. And I appreciate all of your assistance that you offer. I, this summer, want hair extensions. I want to add a curly bottom so that you'll have my natural length. If you're on Patreon, you will see the vision. It will be my natural length. And then I want a longer bottom, probably to my nipples, my areolas. Okay? And I don't know where to go. Sometimes it's $500. Sometimes it's $60. It's tricky.
It's never $60 for a good bit of hair.
It ain't.
I will say, Amanda had a wig on this weekend. She said she got off of Amazon's and that looked gorgeous. Me and Jazz were like, girl, you just threw that on. You look different person. And I wanted a wig. I want a wig.
Mm-mm. I don't want a wig. I want to just look. I want peace. I want it to be full. I want to look like a woman.
I want to be a different woman. So I want a wig.
I want to be a different woman. Yeah. Antoinette's putting on makeup. If you're a Patreon, you got a lot to see. You guys got a show tonight. Woo woo.
What's drinking wine.
What's this, Antoinette?
Get out of my room. Get out of my stuff.
But what is that?
It's something to put on your skin to give it the like wet look.
Before you put on your makeup.
No, after. It's like a finisher. Makeup. So if you want to put it up here, or like it's more like a no makeup finisher. Makeup look. I never use it. Do you want it?
Let me add it.
Are you gonna use it? Mm-hmm. She get on my nerves today. You get on.
She
my
got
nerves.
A whole bunch of perfume that out.
Look at you, I just like going some through of it. My stuff. Okay. That smells good on me, but that's the one that they
this
changed.
This smells good. This smells like you.
That's the one they changed. Yeah,
this smells like you. I like it. Then she has Chloe. I hate it. I ain't gonna smell that thing. Mm-mm, no me gusta.
I actually don't like that either. What are we doing right now on the podcast?
Sorry, we apologize. Patrons like it. This looks right, masculine.
That's the one you like. That's the Valentino. Spray it. That's the one that you liked a lot.
I do. I think I want that on a man, though. Is it for men? Is it unisex?
Anything is unisex. Gender is a construct.
Fuck it up. All right, y'all. So help me, please, with a curly extension. I'll find out what my hair type color is, rather. That's where it gets tricky. I get caught up. And how many do I need? You know, I want to have range. I want it to be like, oh, okay, you don't even notice it. And then I want it to be like voluminous. That's what I want. So how many tracks do I have to get? 6? 4? No. 3?
It depends on the hair.
Help
you
me
need
out.
To ask Jasmine.
She don't help me with nothing, dog. I ask her all the time. She's like, I don't know, girl. What you want? Like, I don't know. That's what she says. Mm. Those are my updates.
Okay. Good updates. My updates are, y'all, I'm a prey about this. The last two episodes, either Shanti has had audio issues, I have had audio issues. I finally got my life together over here. My SD card was corrupted. Mm. It was just a lot going on. I think everything is fixed. So I pray that the audio is back where it needs to be, because Lord knows that bothers me so much. And we've had some amazing guests. So I just really don't want to take away from the experience. So prayers up. And I apologize. Someone called and they were very concerned. They said, I was yelling at you, Shanti. I was yelling at you on the last episode. Do you feel that I was yelling at you? Because I'm pretty sure that it was.
What were we talking about?
It was just Candace Owens. And I was like, that was when I hit Monty up and was like, Monty, can you please lower me? Because my audio is fucked up. So people are calling to let us know that it sounds like I'm literally yelling at Shanti. And it's because it's kind of my fault. It's also the way that we had to edit it due to my audio. So me and Shanti are good. Promise that. I'm very happy and proud to announce that Can't Afford Therapy.
Yes. What a surprise. Did you notice what's going to happen?
No. Can't Afford Therapy was nominated. I didn't even know that we submitted. Shout out to Josh for submitting us. Can't Afford Therapy was nominated for a Webby, which I didn't really know what that was. I'm being completely honest. But apparently it's a big deal. Like when I got the news, I was with my partner and he was like, "It's congratulations. Like, what's wrong with you? That's a big deal." I said, "For real?" And he was like, "Yes."
Bitch.
And so we're nominated for Best Indie Podcast, which I'm really proud about because we don't have the machine behind us. It's just our blood, sweat, and tears. And it's funny, we were all together at Josh's house for family dinner, I want to say like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And just talking about like, how can we bring it back? What could we do? And trying to figure it out with our schedules. It feels very daunting, I'll be completely honest, but if this is not a nudge,
yeah,
you know, something saying like, no, this is necessary. I also know that I show up differently on that podcast, which I'm still trying to figure out why. But please, please, everybody, it would mean so much to us. And it would mean so much to us in terms of like, if we were to, can you stop? Because people can hear that.
I'm sorry.
And what are you going through? What are you looking through in my house? As I'm trying to beg people to vote. What are you looking at?
I just want some lip gloss. I'm going to try this one. Oh, that looks terrible.
There's one in there that will be good for you. Open up the drawer. You see the little one and it's like, it's orangey, but it's very clear. No, that's not clear.
Anyway,
it's...
we ain't gonna do this. I'm gonna just.
But you're.
I'm gonna stop. I'm done. Oh, here it is. Fenty. Here we are.
Let me see. That's it. Put that on. That's pretty. It's pretty, right?
I'm gonna count down.
All right, I'm gonna start by begging over. It would mean a lot to us to please, please vote. For Can't Afford Therapy for Best Indie Podcast for the Webby Awards. It could really help us get some help over there. And it just is a little bit of a stamp of approval, especially since this is like more of a people's choice, best of the internet, hence the word Webby. But that would mean so
you
much.
You guys are in first place right now, aren't you? The last I checked.
It doesn't, I think it closes on the 18th, so anything could happen between now and then.
God damn.
Yeah, it's a lot of time for other folks to get their votes and announce and, you know, do their thing. So please, if you're listening to this, I know how many people listen to Around the Way Curls. If all of y'all just voted, it would mean so much.
And the link is in the description.
The link is in the description.
And you can vote. I voted from my business account and my personal account. So you can vote for multiple
email addresses.
Okay. You can create emails to vote.
Go ahead, Shanti.
So please rate, subscribe, comment, and share about the Around the Way Curls podcast to your community, your outreach, and your... putting your stamp of approval on this podcast goes very far.
Yes.
We would greatly appreciate it in any capacity. We also wanted to remind you guys that we are available on Patreon. You can see us in real time. Antoinette is putting on her makeup. All y'all love Antoinette's glam and makeup. She is a work of art when she comes on to this podcast. You can see her build it in this very moment. And that's a kink. Not only are you getting a podcast, but you're also getting a Get Ready With Me. So the content over here is banging hip hop and R&B. So consider becoming a patron on our Patreon. Shout out to the new patrons that made that change, took a leap. Shout out to Akila, Bree, Renisha, Yase, Destiny, and Kieris. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses and I cannot see. I'm sorry if I misspelled your names, but we appreciate you. Shout out to Kieris, who did something that I said is another possibility. If you already are a patron and you have a tier that you could go up, you're like, I want to keep supporting you. If you have 5 and you go to 10, we love it. We love to see it. We appreciate it. It does help. So that is a possibility as well.
Also, I want to thank all of the patrons that joined us. We had so many people join us for our last Around the Way Curls kickback where we talked Cowboy Carter. We pivoted because we were supposed to be on Easter. And then we were like, oh, Jesus Rose, y'all want to push this back? People was like, yes. And then we even pivoted because Beyonce dropped and it was like, all right, do we want to talk about Beyonce? Yes. So we did. But I am very pleased to announce that we will be having another town hall this month. Y'all was due for 2 since last month had to be rescheduled. Our next town hall will be April 31st at 7 p.m. And we will be covering Ava DuVernay's origin. All right. Please check that out. Again, everybody that I know that has seen this movie, that has watched this movie, raves about it. They feel changed after watching it. And I cannot wait to discuss. So, Desi.
Last but not least, We want to invite you guys to travel with us. We are organizing and have a lot of excitement around the possibility of traveling with our Around the Way Curls community. We do need your help and your voice and your opinion, as this is a collective decision in a lot of ways. We want to make sure everybody feels good and excited about the place they're going. So please consider, if you're interested, completing this travel survey, which will give us the data that we need, selecting the place that you'd like to travel, as well as sharing some other very vital information that will help us organize and make this possible for you all. And you can find that link in the description as well. And thank you to all of you who have filled out that survey and are feeling excited. And for hot shit, not so hot, actually very sad. This is a rest in peace, rest in power to Casey Benjamin. He was an acclaimed saxophonist and vocoder. If you love Robert Glasper and a lot of his albums, the Robert Glasper Experiment, he was the one with the wow, 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 and I want to sound wow, making the vocoder sound. Something that he was obsessed with and picked up. It kind of had been abandoned in the 70s by a lot of musicians, but he picked it up and, you know, is beloved in the music community. A lot of Philly artists I saw were mourning his passing. He worked on albums with, he's 45, only 45 years old. I think he's leaving a wife and children. I know he's leaving a wife. I don't know if he had kids. But yes, these young men, these folks passing so young is just so disturbing. But he worked on Solange's album as well as Q-Tip. So rest in power to Casey Benjamin.
He worked on so many different albums.
So many. But now we're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. R.I.P., sir.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
As someone that has textured and curly hair, I am so excited to share Clairol Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for us, the curly, coily girls. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. Do y'all know about Clairol Textures and Tones? Because guess what? You finna learn something today. They give you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia. Okay? That is almost unheard of. It's quick. It's easy to use. There are 12, count that, 12 new upgraded texture-loving shades just for us. We can feel proud to be able to transform our hair and ourselves right at home. Girls, this is going to save us a lot of time and money. So remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back. I'm going to keep this politics pretty brief, but I think it's important to speak about Israel's killing of 7 international aid workers within an aid convoy. Israel has confirmed its forces killed 7 people from the World Central Kitchen Charity in Gaza as they traveled to feed people with a huge charity logo emblazoned on their vehicle. Those that were killed were from Australia, Poland, United Kingdom, a U.S. Canadian citizenship, and a Palestinian. Just for some context, the World Central Kitchen is a United States-based nonprofit that focuses on feeding people during conflicts. They started during the earthquake in Haiti and have been mobilizing and providing aid since then. The CEO, Aaron Gore, said, "This is not only an attack on WCK, this is an attack on humanitarian organizations showing up in the most dire of situations where food is being used as a weapon of war. This is unforgivable." Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, described the deadly attack on the aid workers as unintended and tragic. And stuff like this happens in war times. Mind you, Israel has some of the most advanced surveillance in the world. So for them to accidentally target this vehicle that, of course, had this... one had approval to be where they were, as well as all of the logos that it had on it, is just, it's just deplorable. And I think it's just happening so commonplace now for us that we're just like, It was really interesting. I got my nails done and there were two women. I'm assuming they were Jewish women. I don't know. There were two white women. And I didn't hear, I got bits and pieces, fragments of their conversation, but they were talking about Israel and I think they were talking about a friend that was having some issues or some conflict about it. And I didn't really get there. I wasn't able to pick up what their reaction or their response to that person's issue with Israel was, but I didn't hear them defending Israel. I also didn't hear them speaking. I never heard Palestine or Gaza mentioned once, but I did constantly hear, or I did hear when I got up, stuff like this happens in war times. This is what happens in war. And I wonder, do we as Americans, number one, really know what the fuck happens in war? Do we even understand the global laws that are agreed upon in war? And like
what's a war crime and
what's not? A war crime, what's not a war crime? Like for us to just be like, oh, that's just what happens, this is the type of shit that happens in war, feels so ignorant in a lot of ways. And I can't sit here and say I know, you know, the do's and don'ts of it, and this just blanket, war is horrific. But again, this kind of like using food, bombing hospitals, the amount of women and children that are...
is a war crime.
Yeah, I just feel like...
Unless you have... apologies for disrupting you. Go ahead. I just wanted to say that's definitely a war crime, especially unless you have undeniable proof that your target is in said hospital.
Well, that's what they've been saying. That's what Israel... But
they don't have undeniable proof.
That's what the press, everybody keeps saying. But Hamas, you know, they're just, they're terrible. They're just in these hospitals. The wreckage and the ruin of the hospital and the documentation that people are sharing is just breathtaking. And I think especially because we do not have a land that has experienced war, and we have a very, I feel like the generation of folks that do experience war are often marginalized in a way. A lot of the veterans, it's not commonplace to even understand their experience, and even in that they suffer alone in a lot of ways. I just think we don't have any idea what the fuck goes down. And I wonder if that is something that every nation should have a sense of, so that its citizens kind of like can know what's going on. Because it was stuff like this happens in war times, just feels like, I don't know.
I mean, right. I understand what you mean. There's such a, and if for folks who want to know the definition of a war crime, the United Nations has the definition of a war crime. It's very long, but I would say the ones that stick out to me is intentionally directing attacks against the civilian population as such, or against individual civilians not taking direct part in hostilities, which I do think that happens quite often. A lot of people are, I just don't think it's to this magnitude. I think a lot of people know that even the United States, especially the United States, weighs the cost of war. They weigh like, all right, well, how many civilians are there? There's our target. We're going to do it anyway. And you're supposed to try to mitigate that as much as possible. We don't know if, I mean, I would imagine that it doesn't happen as much as it should. I also, what sticks out is intentionally directing attacks against civilian objects. That is objects which are not military objectives. It's like all of their homes are gone. And so the way, the perfect excuse is that Hamas hides in these underground tunnels. And that's why they have to literally obliterate everything. Everything. And I don't know where Hamas is. I'm not a geopolitical expert. I just don't think that this is getting... I don't think this is getting them what they want. I don't see hostages being released, really. I just see death. And I also see what I don't see it with my own eyes, but I can imagine that so many more people will be radicalized and will be absolutely anti-Israel as a result of the government's actions. And it's happening here. I mean, the White House had to cancel iftar, and that's like a dinner that many Muslim Americans will attend, and they had to cancel it because so many are in protest over Joe Biden's administration and their allegiance to Israel, despite what he says on a hot mic, you know, saying that Netanyahu's got another thing coming. He's got to play ball. He's got to this. He's got to that. I saw, and I don't want to steal your thunder, I saw what you wrote in the outline about the arms. And that's a big deal. Do you want to talk about that? What the Biden administration is doing?
The Biden administration, they're pressing Congress to approve a plan to sell $18 billion worth of F-15 fighter jets to Israel. The United States is still delivering. I know we keep saying, oh, we're sending all these weapons to them. A lot of this is already promised weapons from a 10-year agreement to provide $3.8 billion worth of military aid that the annual aid that the Obama administration finalized in 2016. So this is saying one thing and doing something else. I think to your point that yes, it's radicalizing people against Israel, but it's also radicalizing people against the US and the West in general.
Yeah, that's such a great point.
Israel just recently bombed an Iranian embassy in Syria. The officials said the attack, which killed three generals in Iran's Quds force and their four other officers on Monday, had dealt a serious blow to the force, the External Military and Intelligence Service of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. Ralph Golf, a former senior CIA official who served in the Middle East, called Israel's strike incredibly reckless. It will only result in escalation by Iran and its proxies, which is very dangerous to American troops in the region who would be targeted in retaliatory strikes by Tehran's proxies. To me, when I read that, I was like, oh, shit. You know, like, why? I don't understand why. There's so many pieces to this that I think.
Iran funds Hamas and supports Hamas. Just the belief.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why do they do that? Why?
Well, all of this, the same way that the United States is strategic in their partnerships with and their allegiances, their alliances with certain countries, especially Israel, so are other countries with other groups. So like Iran helping Hamas indirectly helps them remain a superpower in the region because Israel and Hamas and Iran are kind of vying for that and that footing. And they know that the more influence that the U.S. has in Israel, the more Western influence there is in the Middle East, the more the Western parties will and can have access to their natural resources, can control their economies. I mean, it's pretty layered. The fact that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, you know, are allies now and kind of in cahoots is very threatening to a lot of the folks over there. Again, I don't know all of the intricacies, but I do know that, and maybe we can, I'm still looking for somebody who's like an expert in the Middle East, but it's so complicated that so many people aren't. But it's the same way. It's like teams almost.
I'm
so sorry. Even Russia is getting in on it. Even Russia is like,
because Russia supports Iran.
Exactly, because they are anti-US, anti-Western culture.
I've been looking for resources. If anybody has resources to please share it. And I don't think I'm very interested in looking at like CNN's resources. So what I've been doing is looking at Noam Chomsky. And so if you go to WHTTPS, if you just look for chomsky.info, it has all of his information. And so he's, to me, somebody that I deeply respect. I feel like his analysis and his understanding of the West's history and not, he's deeply critical of the West in a way that I find to be, which I trust in a way. One, he has just a lot of historical evidence and is deeply cited. And, you know, he's just a brilliant, brilliant old man. He's about 92 years old. But when it comes to like his critique of both liberals and Republicans, and he's not on either side, I feel like he's a really great resource. So that's where I'm going to start beginning to go. And he just has catalogs, articles, interviews, just incredibly in-depth that offer Easter eggs to help understand all of this stuff. Because I feel like this is critical at this point that we just cannot sit here and be like, oh, I mean, when I was like 11, like, oh, shit's happening in the Middle East. Okay.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like, what the fuck is happening? What we need to understand, because it is all historical and it's all real. To your point, these are all superpowers that are vying for world power. And it's almost like, it is very much like Game of Thrones. Like if you understand why this person's supporting this person, then you understand what the possibilities are and how dangerous that could be, or how crippling that could be, or how...
Yeah, you're only as strong as your alliances.
It's just, and we need to understand, and we need to, I mean, I think that is really important. So that's where I'm going. But if folks have any other, especially in terms of the Middle East.
This won't give people, this would, it won't give you like current It'll give you insight on the current events, but I really highly recommend. I'm still getting through it now. There's an audio book, there's a regular book, but the Hundred Years War on Palestine, the history of the settler, history of settler colonialism and resistance from 1917 to 2017 by Rashid Khalidi. It's excellent. It gives
you're doing
so
audio
much,
book, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking it up. It's really good to just like listen in when you have a chance and treat it like a podcast. Mm-hmm. If you go back to it, like,
no,
you know.
It's super important. It's like dire at this point.
And when we talk about power, I think what we're realizing more and more is that, you know, there's power is money, right? Power is money. Power is resources, which kind of lends itself to money. Power is force, in my opinion. That's military. And then power is thought. It's the mind. Military, money, mind. I just came up with that. Shout out to me. Three M's. But the mind, I don't know if you saw this, but the Israeli parliament is very, very conservative. It's very conservative right now. And I want to say, I would be remiss if I didn't say that a lot of Israeli people are anti their government, and they have been protesting. They've been out there saying that they need a change in this regime. The Netanyahu is doing nothing but putting them in more danger, and they are not in support of this war. But the Israeli government is controlling, attempting to be even more powerful and control the minds, because the parliament has approved a law giving the government the power to ban broadcasts of TV channels, including Al Jazeera and the Qatari-owned network. And he said that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, said that he would act immediately to close the network's local office. I think it was interesting that the U.S. expressed concern over the move because we're so, you know, free of speech. But Al Jazeera, for folks, I mean, Al Jazeera is a place where I find a lot of my information. I think it's incredibly critical for folks to hear the voices of Muslim folks and Arab folks. And Al Jazeera does that. But yeah, they're moving to block it. It's the same way like in Russia. I'll never forget listening to The Daily and listening to these Russian soldiers who, you know, they had to put the thing over their voice to hide their identity and everything. And they were talking to The Daily and recording their conversations when they were able to talk to their parents back at home. And they were telling their parents, we're over here. What we're seeing is not what Putin is saying. And their parents were like, we're so disappointed in you. We can't believe you've been radicalized. You're dead to us. We'll pray for you. Like, they were so upset with their children fighting. And it was just wild to me of like, wow, the power of the mind. If you can control somebody's mind, that's everything. That's everything. I also still highly recommend, and Shanti, I think you should check them out on YouTube, Channel 4. I think they do a really good job of showing both sides of an argument, and not just about the current situation, but just in general, they do a good job. Even with the way they cover U.S. politics, I'm like, okay. But disheartening. We're going to see Biden. We are going to fucking see. But I don't know what the hell. What would Trump do? What would Trump do? Oh, I don't even want to. He probably would have gave him a nuke and just told him to. No, he wouldn't. He would have destroyed everything else. But anyway, I need a lighter podcast a little bit. So that's politics as usual. And thank you for putting that on there. Things that we want to mention that we're not going to get into. Prayers to Taiwan. Have you seen the footage
of that earthquake? It first started escalating late last night, but I haven't watched it since like 12 of yesterday.
An earthquake is like, and then they have like mudslides as a result of it. And I think I'm shocked that not only, but 9 people. I thought that the number would be so much higher. 9 people are dead. So many buildings, so much destruction. It looks terrifying. That shit terrifies me. So prayers to them for that very massive earthquake that they just felt. Trump is also selling Bibles now. And they're Bibles that have the Constitution in it, and the Bill of Rights, and they're signed.
With the Bill of Rights?
No, the Bibles are signed.
Oh.
And I just, and the people are buying this.
Mm-hmm. He's a master marketer.
He's a master manipulator, which is what marketing is. But my God, are we, Easter just passed and my mom wrote me and she said, and she sent me the billing for the Ten Commandments. I think I've said this on here that my mom and I used to watch the Ten Commandments every year. I love that movie so much. And I am not a Bible thumper, but that movie slapped. Mm-hmm. Long as fuck. Some parts dragged like hell. Mm-hmm. But I will sit to this day and watch that movie. And I'm just thinking about, I remember being so struck by the golden calf, that scene where they're like, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Where they build this golden.
That's how I knew it was about the end.
They're near this golden calf and they built this golden calf. They're praising it. They're worshiping it. And Moses comes down from the bush with the Ten Commandments and throws the Ten Commandments at the golden calf. And I just am like, Trump selling Bibles? Is this not a, what are we doing? What are we doing? That's crazy. Anyway, yeah, Trump is, that's a character right there. Also, Trump Jr. tweeted a picture of Michelle Obama and basically saying that she's a trans woman, which ain't nothing wrong with being a trans woman, but also, what are you doing? And also, you really want to run the country? Like, it's anti-trans, it's anti-black, it's anti-black woman. It's just like, what are you doing? What is this statement even saying? So just, there's so many layers to it. And it's like, that whole family is fucked up. Also, you put this on here, very important. Go ahead.
Philadelphia Governor Ron DeSantis signed a new law.
Philadelphia? Don't give him to us now.
Did I say Philadelphia?
I think.
Florida. Forgive me. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a new law banning abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Ugh. This is shorter, even shorter than the original 15-week time limit that they tried to get passed. In practical terms, 6 weeks is a total ban. Many people do not know they're even pregnant by then. Even if they are aware, Florida requires patients seeking abortions to complete two in-person doctor visits with 24-hour waiting period in between before they can even begin the abortion period.
Process.
Have you ever tried to make a doctor's appointment recently? Weeks. Yeah. Weeks in between. Weeks in between.
Florida. And the nearest state for them to travel to is Virginia, I believe.
Virginia? All the way up here, dog?
I believe so, in order to have, because I think I was watching that, but I thought, I was like, is she exaggerating that? Because what about Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina? But she was saying Virginia, but I think that maybe they have stricter time restraints as well. It might be the 15 weeks. And so I think she was alluding to after the 15 weeks that you would have to go to Virginia, which is just wild. And again, when Florida does one thing, when one southern state, Florida, Texas, they're all testing the waters. Other states are, Greg Abbott is going to follow. Other states are going to follow. I also saw that this will be on the ballot though. So they are having folks vote and there's some sort of amendment that they can make to this to see if like the 6 weeks is too short. So we'll see how Florida voters vote. But the other thing is Florida has become so much more Republican because so many young people, Democrats, have moved out of Florida. And so we don't know how they'll vote. But the Biden campaign is absolutely running on this, but they have to be careful because if you run too hard on it, it's going to feel like you're, you know, exploiting the issue. I saw something that was interesting and I wanted to get into it, but I didn't have time to research it this week. It's been a week. I saw an article saying that how much the average household income should be in order to afford a home in every state. And I was flabbergasted by it. How much money do you think someone in New York State, and you have to realize New York State is not representative of New York City, because New York City is a whole hell of a lot more expensive than a lot of places upstate New York. So how much money for the whole state, the median, would you say, an annual income?
$185,000.
Oh, wow. That's not that. You're it's lower. It's $150,000 that you have to earn in order to have. Pennsylvania's $80,000. California is $200,000.
Oh, my God.
Florida, I was shocked, is $115,000. Colorado, shocked, $152,000. Like everything, basically, they said in this that, hold on, they said in this that 22 states and in DC, because it's not a state, need to earn at least $100,000 annually in order to afford a median priced home. And I think it's really interesting that I want to know what a median priced home is for them. And I also want to know what a Ford is, because when I went to the bank or, you know, to get pre-approved on a house, the house that they told me I could afford, I was like, I'm going to be house poor. What the fuck are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. That's if I don't take any money out for my retirement. That's if I don't have any issues with the house. That's like me living very much check to check and not being comfortable, not having a vacation, not doing anything. So I would love to understand how they calculated this. But more importantly, I'd love to go into and maybe deep dive into this for one of the politics of like how inflation works.
Yeah.
I think that would be really interesting to do. So I'll get on my shit and start my little research doohickeys or try to find somebody who knows. But things to look out for. There's more stuff happening. Trump is acting up in the world, but I'm just so sick and tired of talking about him that I won't. So on to the next. I'm excited about this. Pop culture. Shanti.
Gerard Carmichael premiered his show. Damn, what's the name of the show, child?
Damn. I have no idea, actually. Isn't it just a reality show? Gerard Carmichael reality
show?
It's
what exactly what it's called. Gerard Carmichael reality show. It premiered on HBO on the 29th of March.
Max now. I think they're Max only, HBO, right?
Oh, Max.
Yeah. Stupid.
This is a story all about how his life got flipped upside down because he was being gay, and now his family knows and everybody knows, and this is them following around his new gay life. Being radically honest. And so he starts this premiere with, "I fell in love with my best friend. 1 out of 10, don't recommend. I knew I had to tell him. Things started getting kind of weird between us. I had these feelings, so I texted him. I remember saying, I know you didn't ask for this, but somewhere down the line, I developed feelings for you, and I don't know what to do about that. Then I immediately turned my phone off and went to therapy." And so this episode is about this specific interaction between him and his best friend, who turns out to be Tyler, the Creator, and which... just that, he fell in love with Tyler, texted him, and their relationship kind of fell off. And so they film them getting back together and discussing, or not, them attempting to discuss and resolve this tension and this awkwardness between them. I am wildly jealous of Gerard Carmichael and what he's trying to do. What he is doing in his ruthless, there's a ruthlessness even at the expense of his ego, even at the expense of being perceived and misconceived by people, to be honest to the best of his ability and the lack of control that and the uncertainty that you have to constantly deal with. You can, if I tell somebody, there was no way that he was able to control. Once you're honest with somebody, once you reveal yourself in a particular way, you have no control over the narrative. You have no control over the how the person's going to respond to you. All you can do is just be as honest and as authentic as you can be. And I see him trying to do that in this episode in particular. And I think, you know, even in his doing his stand-up, he does stand-up, but his stand-up is basically him sitting in the chair and telling all his business to the audience with some laughs here and there, but them like basically like a therapy session. But I'm so inspired and jealous of how he wants to show up in his life and how fearless you have to be. I mean, I think he's very full of fear, but how he is reckoning with uncertainty and a lack of control that we all shy away from and refuse to embrace. And he's like hugging it. He's like, come here, give me a hug. But I have more thoughts, but what do you think?
I don't know. I think, one, I love it. I think I was shocked when I saw people online really dissing it. I saw it on Twitter. A lot of people they could only focus on the fact that he was engaging sexually with men and white men in particular. They felt very strongly about that, I'll say. But I was like, wow, what a disservice it does to the work, because I know that he's being honest. I don't know if he doesn't. I mean, it's obvious that he is. It's not your typical reality show, right? It's very edited. It feels almost like.
It's not your typical reality show. It's very edited.
No. But it's edited in a way where it's not just mess. It's edited in a way where you feel the tension and the storyline is not just plot driven. It's driven by emotion. It's driven by something that I think is, I don't have the language for it, but it feels like I'm sitting in on a therapy session. It feels like he wrote this. Like if it feels like a really incredibly written series that could be like a Master of None episode or something. Mm. Like it feels like that. And it's him. And I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's really clear about the questions that he wants the viewers to ask. I think he's clear about where he wants them to feel uncomfortable. I think that he's very generous and vulnerable and like the ways in which he's getting his message across is by him revealing himself. But I think that he's outlined it. He's outlined his own pain to tell a story, and it's real strategic and it's real specific. And a lot of people's pushback is like, this isn't real. Not that it's not there. Well, yeah, that's what they're saying. They're like, this isn't real. Like, it's not honest. You have an agenda here and this is edited and I don't believe that you're really feeling this way. I believe that you're still acting a bit because you want to push an agenda.
Which I feel like we all do. So even in that, exactly. Like that's what we all do.
Exactly. But he's just doing it masterfully.
And all raw. Of us are doing that in some way, shape, or form. Was I shook when he was sucking on that white man's toes? I was. It was quite a sight
really?
To see. Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay.
What did that do for you? Were you shook when he was kissing the white man?
No,
but it was something specific about
the white men. I'm not going to sit there and it's interesting to me. It's very interesting. And I think it's interesting to him, too. I think he is even also
exactly.
like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, what the fuck?
I think he's revealing that very, very intentionally of like,
yeah,
this shit is layered over here.
Yeah.
I got my shit, too. And that imagery, him being at a white man's feet while he's in love with a black man who and a black family and a black mom and a black this, but he's at this white man's feet to escape what his reality, to just find some pleasure in that moment. Mm. I think that if we took a beat instead of being triggered and like just tried to see past that, maybe we would get to the root of something else. Or maybe he very intentionally did that so that we could deal with the fact of, why does that trigger you so much? What you holding on to? Should it trigger you that much? I don't know. My thing is to watch that series and for that to be the thing out of everything that happened in that 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted by it. How?
Have you ever made yourself that vulnerable to rejection the way he did with
yes, unrequited love is, man, it's a thing, it's a motherfucking thing. But yeah, I have.
Would you do it again?
Would I do it again? I haven't. I mean, I need to know that you kind of like me a little bit. I don't know, but I will say that I was frustrated with Tyler. I was frustrated with him. I was frustrated with Tyler because I don't know. One, I have to give him grace because he was on camera, and it is like, oh, you want to have this conversation with me on camera? Like, huh? But you said something to me the other night. You didn't say it just now, but Gerard is forcing people to deal with their shit. Gerard is dealing with his shit and forcing us to deal with ours too. And I don't know if everybody's ready for that. Like, I don't know if Tyler wanted to have that conversation in that moment and be revealed. But I doubt that Tyler didn't see a cut of this or didn't have some inkling or agreed to it. I just feel like, because they're friends, I would hope that he was able to sign off on this stuff. But he was frustrating me. I don't think that he gave it the level of, he didn't honor it. Like this man, and you could see on, it broke my heart to see Gerard's physicality in that scene where he's still opening himself up. He's the person going after Tyler to be like, can we have this conversation? And maybe I'm tripping. I'm sure some people are going to be like, why the fuck did he do that on camera? No, I get it. But to me, it's even more brave. It's like, he knew that shit was going to come out. And then he even knew that he was going to be rejected again. But he just wanted to have the conversation. And Tyler's playing. He's playing in his face. He doesn't take it seriously.
I don't know that he didn't take it seriously. I don't think that he had the full conversation. I don't know what the direct questions were asked either on Gerard's end either. He was like, oh, you're still kind of avoiding it. And he was like, what do you want me to say? And Gerard didn't say it.
He said to have this conversation, to talk about it.
But he was like, what do you want from me directly? Do you want? And he told him, no, you're like my brother. Now what else do you want me to say? I told you, it was awkward. I missed you when I avoided it. What else do you want me to say that I don't know that Gerard said either? It was like just a lot of space. And I think those conversations should not be, that was 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Of course, it was probably longer, but Like, those are, to Gerard's point, those are like day long. Those are like conversations that you have continuously, that you commit to having continuously. But I wasn't.
Oh,
I don't know that he responded in a, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, brother. What do you want me? He was like, what do you want me to say? I don't like you like that. And I'm not get. Well, he didn't even say that. But the way they cut it when they were like, no, I'm straight. I'm straight.
He was saying shit. Come on, Shanti.
I don't know if they cut that though. I don't know.
It could have.
I don't know. It could have.
I didn't, for my opinion. If someone were to, if you were to be spilling your heart to someone, or you have already done it, right? To the capacity that you could. And then you're like, all right, let's have the conversation because our relationship has changed. And then that's how they're talking to you. I don't know if you would feel good about it.
I don't know.
Can you let her out?
Tyler either.
She's crying because like she wants to be out of like, the room.
Who that nigga was? He got up and farted.
Don't. I don't like how you talk to her.
What'd I say?
I didn't even know you. Where you even come from? I didn't even know you was in here, dog. You, Tyler.
The way you just said back. That. The way that you're I back. Said that.
Your Monty, put different. That in there. I don't like the way she talked to my cat. You're Tyler and I'm Gerard. I said that when we watched it too. I said, you're Tyler. You would Tyler me. You'd be like, what you talking about? What's up with this plate? Like, what you want from me, dog? And I would slit my wrists.
I don't think so. I don't think that would happen like that at all. But, okay.
So what do you think? I guess, would you ever do this? Because you say that you're jealous of him, but you're also pathologically secretive.
Yeah.
And guarded.
How does that not correlate? I would never do that. That's why I'm jealous of him. Makes perfect sense. What?
So you're jealous that he has what, the audacity to do it? The courageous?
Yeah, that he's invested in what a life of yeah, what that would invite into his life. Because you end up shutting off certain possibilities. You end up continuing the same patterns in this rather than just cracking something open. Like, he just busted all open. And that's, to Tyler's point, I was scared of change. I was scared of what the change that could happen. You know, when you like keep things the same, when you're not completely honest, that's what happens. Just shit can either stay the same or things just don't open up in a way that I think he is, he's offering up. He's just like, all right, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to write this thing. I'm going to put my phone down and I'm going to see what happens until the next moment of honesty arises. And then I come to that opportunity. And then the next thing, I'm assuming he may not be doing that entirely, because who the fuck does that entirely? But the little glimpses that I got, I was like, oh, that is so interesting.
We don't have to talk about this, but I thought the more interesting part of it for me was when he was talking about his mother and if he were to invite his mother to the Emmys and the fact that she wouldn't understand the sheer irony mm-hmm. of that
mm-hmm.
and the voicemail that she did leave him. Again, I've talked about this on here of like, in question, can you really love somebody if you can't see them? I argue no.
Mm-hmm.
But other people say yes to the best of their ability. But I'm looking forward to seeing the relationship with his mother and learning more about her and how she's been reared and his family. I'm really interested in that dynamic. The Tyler thing is a good thing for the first episode. It grabs you because everybody knows Tyler.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in the other stuff.
Yeah.
And also, that's not Banksy. I would like to apologize.
He said, how I get in it?
I was like, because Banksy does that. If you've ever seen Banksy's, I forget that documentary, but it is so fucking funny. It's amazing. What is that documentary? Hold on. Documentary Banksy is in. I really, exit through the gift shop. It's fucking brilliant.
I don't know that you can't love somebody if you don't see them. I think it's harder to love somebody if you don't give them freedom. I feel like she's trying to control him through her manipulation, through her. And maybe you have to see somebody in order to do that. I don't know. But like some things you just may not ever understand about someone. You just can't see. You just don't get it. But I'm going to let you rock. And I love that you're doing that. But
yeah, I think we're using different terminology for the same thing. Because if you say I'm going to let you rock, then that means I don't think you have to understand everybody to love them. Mm. But if you say I'm gonna let you rock, that means you see them and you acknowledge who they are.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait to continue watching that show.
She gonna get on my fucking nerves. Uh-oh, is everything okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She was being bad. This is a different topic.
Definitely.
So, and I might get in trouble. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
I want to know. Because I've seen this, but I refuse to click on it. I'm just like, I can't do it.
So Brittany and Abby Hensel. These are
not Hensel.
I think that's how they say that is name. Such H-E-N-S-E-L. They are sisters that are adjoined at the neck. They share a body. They share everything.
Mm.
Like
everything is one. It's just one body. It's one heart, one lung, one. Reproductive system.
I don't know about
system.
How the heart works, but I know they got two arms and two legs, but they got two heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, one of the sisters got married.
I know that's right. We's getting married. What you talking about?
No. One of the sisters got married. Uh-huh. And they were very clear about that. And so this made its way to social media. Like, y'all remember them viral sisters? Y'all remember them sisters that were... join together. And so there were a lot of questions that came as a result of this. It's like, wait a minute now, if one of y'all married but y'all can't be apart, how that work? And so the sisters have clapped back, Shanti. They said, because everyone is asking, we're just gonna tell you. Yes, I have sex with my husband. Yes, I go down on him. Yes, my sister Brittany is there. Yes, my sister Brittany and I orgasm as one. But when I sleep with my husband, she's usually reading a book. Excuse me. Or listening to a true crime podcast. So she just puts the pleasure out of her mind.
His dick is trash. Ain't no fucking way.
What is wrong with you,
it
Shanti?
Is. Ain't no way. This ain't no way I'm an orgasm while reading a book, dog. Ain't no way I'm going to be next to two people having sex and I'm reading a book.
Or listening to a true crime ain't podcast.
No way. This shit is whack.
Like, does she have a blindfold on? Like, how do you really headphones?
We orgasming. We having sex.
It's not funny because I don't want to appear to be an ableist. But come on, y'all. This is...
It is. It's one body. Like, we are orgasming together.
She said it. Yes, my sister and I orgasm as one.
Yeah. But that shit ain't... She... the sister, like, she lying. We ain't feeling nothing. Stop faking, Brittany. That shit is trash. Uh-uh. I wish my sister would. I'd be like, girl, get into this. Girl, stop playing. Lick his
bone. That's my thing.
Rub his body. Like, what?
Why don't I would, if you and I were joined and we had one body, I would have to marry somebody that you like too. Like, we got to share this.
Does the other girl like her?
No, they are not in a relationship. And she says she's still looking for love. And I'm like,
yo, they playing in our face. And I don't care what y'all say. I don't care. I will take the heat for this because y'all playing. Also, y'all, kinky. I love it. Do it. Go find you a man. Getting that bed together. All of y'all. Yes. And then they're going to see which man is better. Like, yo, fucking Henry is killing it. Brian.
We orgasming it.
This shit really popping.
I can't read my true crime.
She's like, actually, never mind. Yeah.
This book, Corey.
Or she get mad at her sister. Like, fuck you making all that noise for with her. Pay attention. Read your fucking book. Fuck you all over in our business for. And move your hips. We moving our hips, girl. Stop.
We moving our hips is crazy.
That's crazy. What an experience. Talk about Gerard Carmichael. Have you ever?
that's the reality that's... show I want. Okay? Y'all, all the gay people got to step their game up. Uninterested. This right here.
This shit right here. We got to understand the ins and outs of all of this.
We might get canceled after this. Fuck.
No, we ain't. Listen.
I'll
take it, internet. I will take it. I'm fucking up your career and I apologize, but I ain't no way that I was not going to say that. Because.
If we were joined, we would pick somebody. If you were joined with me, you would pick
two guys. We could. I like that idea.
Oh.
Yeah, like. I'm not feeling him that much. You like him. Yeah. But this guy.
Yeah, but you down there with me. When I'm down there, you down there with me, girl. We in it. We just like you said, move your hips.
Yeah, we switching. Nah. My turn.
Mm-mm. I think we got to find somebody we both like.
There have to be some boundaries. Because if I found it. Yeah, because he could play that.
I think it's one.
I don't like your head. move over.
Yeah, like we're literally sharing all this. So like I can't be. It's got to be that he marries both of us and we with the shits. And we.
How could he not bury both of them?
He didn't, girl.
He did. That's why y'all stopped playing with me. That's where.
He did.
That's where.
Why would she tweet this, though? Like, you made it worse. The questions under here, can you click it so you can laugh? Because now, y'all, I think I got shot to you on Twitter. Click this. And see the responses. Everybody was like,
"When did he marry?
He married the one in a wedding dress.
Girl, they both got on wedding dresses.
No, the other girl's thing was
in the middle or the end.
The picture, the one further away from him, which is tricky, I believe.
Why the fuck you up next to my man? First of all." Yes, I go down on him. Yes, my sister Brittany's here. Yes, my sister and I orgasm in one. But when I
no, look at the responses.
But that's crazy. I had to read that again.
People are like, wait, what? I have more questions now than ever. Listening to a true crime podcast when your vagina is being murdered is kind of wild.
That's what I'm saying. His dick is trash, dog. I would need my sister over there tweaking, like, girl, you feel this shit, girl? Put the book down.
They was like, I was curious, but now I regret it. So if the sister has a one-night stand, does that constitute as having an affair for the twins?
Yeah, question like, what happens? How they going to reckon with a child? Like, what? That's where you really got to be, like, we.
Anyway, I wish nothing but happiness and pleasure for the both
of
them.
I hope they get. I hope she getting orgasm and all the time unwanted. I wouldn't know what that's like. Like, god damn, they doing it again. Ugh.
Oh, that's such a good question. Somebody said, "What about pregnancy?" Oh my god, I'd be mad as shit if you got us pregnant, and I ain't feel like being pregnant.
Who the fuck gonna care for this baby? I don't want to care for this baby. This is not my kid.
Yes, it is. No, wow, it's not. That's just, that's interesting. Anyway, I had to put that on there because I was.
Who is this nigga? What is he? Look at him.
Stop.
Wow.
We're going to get canceled. Oh, man. Anyway.
The one that got the tan is the one that got married. You see it? She.
She said, let me make sure I look good for my picture.
She said, no, you can't get this tan.
Listen, women's college basketball is really heating up. I was very disappointed, though. I was watching the college basketball. LSU lost, and so did Dawn Staley and my girls. Juju lost. And what's most upsetting about this is that Caitlin Clark, the goddamn Caitlin Clark, that girl is so good. She like the Larry Bird of women's college basketball. She's this white girl that could fucking play for no reason. Now, I got to give you backstory on this. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were up against each other last year, okay? Caitlin Clark, showboats. She talks trash, same as any other athlete on a team sport, or same as any other athlete, really. She doing all this, like, I'm about to get a ring in your face. You know, she like swishing it in your face. Okay. Now, Angel Reese is black. When Angel Reese did it back to her, it made a lot of headlines. We talked about this briefly. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, she's terrible. That's just not right. That's awful. She's attacking Caitlin Clark. Even Caitlin Clark, and not just people, like actual pundits, actual like personalities, TV personalities, articles written. It was ridiculous, the backlash that Angel Reese got. But Angel Reese ended up winning the title. And so, you know, it was what it was. Caitlin Clark actually came out against this and said there's no reason that Angel Reese should have ever gotten the scrutiny that she did. It was unwarranted and unfair. We're both competitive and whatever. Now, she didn't go as far to be like, what's the double standard here? Because I'm a white girl and she's black. She ain't say that, but she was just saying she shouldn't have gotten the backlash. Fine. Fast forward to this year. Angel Reese is kind of like sick of people talking shit about her. And she's just kind of like, whatever, I'll be that girl. Y'all want to say that I'm the villain, I'll be her. Angel Reese still is not doing anything that any other athlete is not doing. They showboat and they carry on and they're having a good time. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark were up against each other in the Elite Eight game. And Angel Reese sadly lost to Caitlin Clark's team. And Angel Reese was very, very emotional at the end of the game. And Falaje, her teammate, I think you've probably seen this on social media where she's sitting there like, y'all don't understand, the crown that she wears is heavy. Angel Reese is my sister. Like, it was sisterhood at its best. Have you seen this clip?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's going viral because it's like, this is how we need to be for one another. Because I think she knew that Angel was going to catch heat because not only was she emotional, she lost. And it's like, oh, you this big bad wolf, but you're not backing it up. Mm. And I don't feel that Angel Reese is any more showboaty than anybody else in college basketball. And basically, Emmanuel Acho, we talked about his ass before, Mr. Uncomfortable Conversation. They never had an uncomfortable conversation in his motherfucking life. He's getting dragged on the Twitterverse because he thought it was a good idea to have a take on Angel. And it was a very unpopular take. I'm going to play it, okay? Because it irritated the bejesus out of me.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Mm. Because if you want to act grown, which she has, if you want to get paid like you grown, which you are, if you want to talk to grown folks like you grown, which you did post game when you told a coach for an opposing team, watch your mouth. If you want to tell people get your money up, then post game when you take an L, you just got to take it on the chin. Nobody mourns when the villain catches an L. And Angel Reese, you have self-proclaimed to be the villain. Shout out to you, because you are the second best basketball player on the court, and it was not close. Outside of Caitlin Clark, it was you. 17-20, dog. Showed up, biggest game, second biggest game of your career. Absolute dog. But you can't, under any circumstance, go to the podium and now try to ask for individuals to give you sympathy. No one has sympathy for the villain. Mm-hmm. You painted the bullseye on your back. Why are you surprised when people shoot at you? So if you want to act grown, if you want to pose grown, if you want to talk grown, if you want to talk to grown folks grown, then you got to take the L like you grown. Because what frustrated me is when you want to be the villain, but you want to hope for sympathy like a hero.
And I don't know if you heard it, but he said when he started out, he started saying that he was going to have a take that did not take in race or gender, that it was outside of any of that. He was just speaking to Angel Reese. He caught hell for this take, especially from Black women. And then he came back and said, "Dear level-headed friends," which, whatever, "please know I always speak out on racial and gender bias, one of the few on TV to speak to it, and I have also constantly publicly supported Angel through it. However, I don't blindly support anyone and assess every situation individually, and then I speak." All right.
Who is he? Now,
he is
a sports commentator?
Yeah, sadly, he used to be a Philadelphia Eagle. But yes, he's a sports commentator. Now, his colleague then said this. Shout out to Joy Taylor.
Who made her the villain? Because someone made her the villain. And it wasn't her. She was being herself and bragging the same way that all athletes brag when they win, when they hit a big shot, when they do this. I've seen it a million times. But we don't talk about them the way that we talk about Angel Reese. So it's very easy to say that we're just going to eliminate the fact that she is a young girl and eliminate the fact that she is a Black girl and eliminate the fact that she's an unapologetic Black girl. We could take all that out. I love playing the we don't see color game. We don't see gender game. Let's do that. Do we talk about men who brag after winning or hitting a big shot the way that we talk about Angel Reese? I'll clear it up for you. We don't. We don't do segments about that because it's very common. We're used to seeing it. It's absorbed differently. Mm-hmm. There's an expectation of how Angel Reese is supposed to act.
And that gets into that that expectation of how she's supposed to act and be grateful that she's in the space that she's in, mm-hmm. I think is the issue. But just listening to that, because I want to find one more reaction from Taylor Rooks. What do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, again, I don't know much about it, but from the little that I do know, I think that it seems like there's a bias, of course. It seems like, and I just don't know enough about the women's sports world by any means, but it just seems like she's being...
Why would you need to?
It just because I don't know what her history is. Like I'm not speaking for what her sportsmanship or how she acted or didn't act, or I don't even know what her response was. I didn't watch the full video for her after she lost the game, but it does feel like there's no compassion or space for her. It's like, oh, you're supposed to just he's saying, like, because you acted a certain way when you lose, you shouldn't be crying about it. Just take it on your chin. Like I guess I'm wondering, why did her teammate have to come to her defense? Why was
because
she even
of
have
everything that happened last year?
Why is that even what's being talked about after she lost the game? Why isn't it just like, yo, I lost this game. I feel sad about it. Why is it about all that other stuff?
That's the question. That's
actually what
the
they
question.
Brought that because they brought it back up, or she brought it up. Like
she Angel said that y'all have no idea what I've been through. I play my ass off, basically. You know, she talked about being disappointed, but she did talk about the scrutiny that she faces and how hard that is, and that, you know, she's just trying to put her head down and kind of play. But I think what people are not understanding about this villain role that some people play is that Taylor Rooks wrote, you have to ask why Angel became the villain. You have to ask why her role as villain has not allowed her to also be human. You have to wonder why her being asked a question and simply answering it has led to this level of discourse. Mm. You have to ask what you mean when you say Angel wants to talk grown or pose grown. What is grown a substitute for? You have to ask why trash talking, a practice many athletes engage in, is seen so much harsher when it comes from someone that looks like her. You have to ask how some of the ideas you expressed fuel the fire. And went on to talk about marginalization. But I do believe mm-hmm. that this role of villain, I think that we're watching it right now with Amanda Seales, is that, you know, I shared my whatever little knowledge I had on Amanda Seales and related it to my own shit, where it's like, whatever. No, I don't have to relitigate that. But I'm watching. She just went off because the Griot put out another article about her. Another one tearing her down. And now she's like, you know what? And now she's yelling in the camera. You know, now she's actually, some people would argue, doing the things that the Griot is accusing her of. And I'm like, rightfully so at this point. Like, I get it. People reach a fucking peak and then you villainize them and say, look at how you're acting. And it's like, well, you're not taking into account the fact that I've created this character of myself, or I've fallen into this role because that's the only thing that you'll fucking let me be. Seemingly, right? It's really hard to ignore this shit. And at the end of the day, this whole she wanna act grown, I don't like that statement either, because she's not 12. You know, like, what does she wanna act grown mean? I mean, she's a college athlete. She is a woman, a grown woman.
Yeah, what
right?
is he talking about?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you wanna act grown meaning what? You wanna stay in your place. You don't know your place, little girl. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's very bothersome is that Caitlin Clark she engages in the same type of celebratory behavior on the court. She has all kinds of endorsement deals. She is the golden child, and she does not look like Angel Reese. So it's gender, but it's also race. And to me, it's just like, you want to know why there's all of these tropes about certain people, about this villainous shit, but it's like, have you ever humanized them and allowed them to be anything else? Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. I really hope that Amanda Seales doesn't turn into the villain where she's like, fuck y'all. I don't care. I'm talking my shit anyway. Kiss my ass. But could we be mad if she did?
Yeah, at this point? She's always going. Isn't that what she's
But not in the not in the villainous, like, I don't care about all y'all. Fuck y'all. It's not that energy. It's I'm gonna tell the truth, period. And I don't care who it offends energy. But it's not on, like, she's yelling in the camera right now. I don't think that you saw the video. Like, she's going off. And she's like, the rest of y'all can suck it. And then she turns it off. Like, she's pissed. She's fed up. It's like the internet went in on her and litigated her for weeks. We engaged it, like, come on, everywhere she fucking turned.
And supported her. A lot of people supported
and,
her.
And supported her. Yeah, and
a
I,
lot
and,
of support.
You know, whatever. We had our little interaction via Instagram and the DMs. And, you know, I said my apologies and my piece about it. But it must be hard is all I'm saying. It must be hard.
Yeah.
It just must be hard. Yeah. And I'm thinking about the ways in which I villainize people and don't allow them and don't make space for them to be anything else. And then when they fit that role, I say, see, told you. So yeah, very interesting shit. But also shout out to the WNBA, shout out to the women's college basketball, because it's now averaging higher numbers and a bigger audience than the men's basketball.
Okay.
And yeah, like, everybody's talking about these girls can fucking play. We'll see what happens next year, because half of the girls who are really killing it are going into the WNBA. But that's exciting for the WNBA too. It's like, can't wait to watch. So that was unfortunately, but I shout out to Angel Reese, LSU. Shout out to even Caitlin Clark, who's kind of stuck up for her. They could play her ass off, but fuck Emmanuel. And maybe that's me villainizing him, but fuck him at this point right now, in this moment. But there's space
in this moment. There's space for growth. Do better. But in this moment.
Yeah. I don't know. He always on that bullshit. Do you want to do this next topic? You can.
No. What's the next topic?
You're hilarious.
The awards. I'll just say this. First of all, they had the iHeart Radio Awards. Beyonce won Innovator of the Year. Cher won Icon Award. Deserve. They had Cher sing a duet with Jennifer Hudson.
What? I didn't see it. Wait.
Which is crazy. And then everybody got mad at Jennifer Hudson because she, of course, outshined and outsung Cher. And Cher was trying to get the award. And it was like, you ain't had to do that. You. But why
they sang Believe together?
Why the fuck would they have Cher and Jennifer Hudson do a duet and then get mad at J-Hud because she gonna come through with the come through because that's all she knows how to do. And why would you pair J-Hud them together?
She gotta realize though, sometimes you gotta stop.
She's singing. But
that pairing is insanity.
She's just singing. Like, that's what she does is power ballad. She gonna sing. And Cher
did
does
they
not.
Sing it slower? Did they sing it fast?
I don't know, child.
You know that stripped down version I showed you of Adam?
You believe in life after love. I feel so annoying. Inside me say.
Those lyrics are beautiful.
Jennifer Hudson sang it down. She said, believe, yeah!
I need to
Cher
see this.
Tumbled over. Cher fell off of the stadium. She sang and blew her hair back and she was caught by her light-skinned husband that pushed her back up and was like, you all right?
People are like, why everything got to be so loud? Jennifer Hudson is just loud, though. She just be so loud.
But why? But they should have known for her loud singing style. Why would they pair her with Cher? First of all, Cher is an
Cher
icon.
Cher should sue them.
She should sue them. She should be like, how the fuck dare you? I'm obsessed with watching old videos of Cher because that bitch could dress. She had the body.
Icon.
She's who Kim Kardashian wants to be.
Oh, Kimmy has said it. She's obsessed with Cher. The high.
That's ridiculous. That's like a Saturday Night Live parody. Why would they do that? Some people running in the background.
Now, all right. Let me say something. Jennifer also sounds crazy. She sounds
it's
crazy.
It's a Saturday Night it's Live parody. Why would they do that? Sherry mad as shit. Opinion. She's still blinking in the ceiling like, why the fuck?
Unpopular opinion, though. Jennifer Hudson needs to be more tasteful sometimes with her choices, her musical choices. I said it, and I'm about to get my fucking head blown off. And I fuck y'all in advance. That's how I feel it. I'm drinking wine. Y'all been on my fucking ass lately. Fuck y'all in advance.
She does.
I don't care. She needs to be more tasteful J-Hud, with her musical
calm
choices.
Calm the fuck down. Stop screaming and the hooting and the hollering, okay?
Especially even sound
with
like the
that
right, no.
Elderly white girl. Woman. Why would you do that?
And,
that woman
and
about
Cher
77 years old. She said, damn, this ain't even this type kind of music. This is a fucking house jam, bitch. What you doing, dog?
Right. You're not musical.
She said,
anyway, that's me. She's 77.
She did not need to do that to that elderly
woman. She almost
woman.
Killed Cher. She need to sue her. She need to sue them awards.
Cher said, I don't know why you up here. First of all, I could have done this by myself. First of all, Cher shouldn't even be up there singing. So the nerve of her. This
why
is the type
not?
Of shit.
Willie Nelson
this is shit
singing?
When the icons get awards, other people sing your songs. You just sit there.
I don't want to hear Jennifer Hudson sing that. It should have been Adam Lambert. Is that his name? Because I think it is. Adam, he killed that. For everybody, please, yes, go look at Adam Lambert singing Do You Believe? And it was a tribute to Cher for the Kennedy Honors. And it's the most beautiful rendition I've ever heard of that song. And I hate that song. And I loved when he sang it. Of course anyway. You do. You be in the house getting it. Like, do you believe?
That's a song. If we do karaoke, that's what I'm singing.
Heard absolutely. We are doing karaoke next weekend.
Is it next weekend?
Dang. Yes, unfortunately. Shout out to Beyonce. You're not going to congratulate the queen?
Beyonce had a very wonderful speech. She looked bedazzling in her black vintage Versace cowgirl outfit.
Her makeup was perfect.
She had said, or whatever. What'd she say? She said,
thank you, Stevie, for playing the harmonica on Jolene. And we was all like, ah!
Stevie. She said, to all the record labels, every radio station, every award show, my hope is that we're more open to the joy and liberation that comes from enjoying art with no preconceived notions. She says, shout out to Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Tracy Chapman, Linda Martell, Prince, Andre 3000, Tina Turner, Michael Jackson, and Stevie Wonder, applauding them for executing your dreams so we can all follow. It was a really gracious, humble, inspiring, challenging speech. Shout out to her and the folks that helped her write it, because that shit was good. And I said, clap a hand.
She couldn't have wrote the speech
she
by
wrote
herself.
It herself too.
I heard it. I heard the shade. Listen, that she sent.
I would be like, help me make sure that's preconceived. Is that right? All right. Whatever, whoever did, if she did it herself, if Jay-Z wrote it, if Blue wrote it, whoever.
Did
she
you
wrote
see
it.
Blue?
Blue grown.
Did you see Blue?
Speaking of grown.
Blue is so grown and so beautiful and so tall.
She is very
Beyonce
tall.
Beyonce is tall. Jay-Z is tall. That little girl is a giant. Whose runway is she going to be
big
on?
How tall is Beyonce?
Like Beyonce's five, tall. She like 5'10", 5'11". And Jay is tall.
Well, you ain't got that water. Yo, speaking of which, I don't feel like talking about it. If you want to hear us talk about the album, you got to go to our Patreon.
Oh, plug that joint. Yes, we had a whole Patreon kickback on Cowboy Carter. And so we're not talking about Cowboy Carter on this here podcast. We went into detail and depth analysis of Cowboy Carter.
Child, she 5'6". She ain't that tall. We hype.
She is not 5'6". I've met the lady. She's much taller than me. I'm 5'6" and then like a half. Why and she's taller than Jasmine. And Jasmine is 5'9".
You can't listen to the Google ever. God damn it.
Google said Jay-Z 6'2", and I believe that. You interrupted my Patreon.
I apologize. Thing. Forgive me. Go ahead, Queen. I got sidetracked.
You interrupted me when I was trying to get people to vote for the Webby Awards, and now you're interrupting during the Patreon.
I apologize. Go
That's
ahead.
Okay. Apparently, I do it to you all the time.
I just knew you was going to go ahead.
Fucking voicemail I received.
I knew she was.
Okay. Anyway, go to Patreon. That was it. Go to Patreon if you want to hear about Cowboy Carter.
And we got multiple takes because the community chimed in. Multiple takes, some good, some bad. All honest. All honest.
Are you talking about this other thing,
no,
child?
We done. Y'all.
Will you sing to us? Did you know that Rumi was saying to sing a lullaby?
Yeah, what you think she said? She said a lullaby.
I didn't understand what that little girl said at all. I was just like, oh my God, that must be Rumi. And got hyped.
She said, mommy, can you sing a lullaby? That's it.
Oh my God. No, what lullaby do you think Beyonce sings?
Protect her. She sang that whole song to her to put her to sleep. The way that it says projector, I said, this is my mom's song to me. I will project onto you. I said, this is my mother.
She only says projector when she talks about the light within her children.
I said, uh-uh. My mom's projection a little bit different, but I feel you on that lullaby.
All right. What does your hat say?
Penn State. Penn State.
But what does it say in the...
I can't read it.
Nittany Lions. Oh.
You know who that is?
I think the Penn State Lions. Aren't they the Lions? Not there.
I just like the cheetah print, girl. You know.
It's interesting. I never saw a cheetah print.
Zebra print.
Oh, look. It matches my nails.
Look at
even though she kind of drew it like a spider web.
They're really pretty.
You like them?
I love it. I love the length, too. Very nice. She cut my nails down.
I'm over these lengths. I don't want long nails. I'm done with it. I'm done with it, actually. All right, let's go because I still got to pack. I still got to empty the car out. I'm not done.
You
got to
empty the car out?
Uh-huh, and I'm a little bit drunk.
Thank you all so much.
And it's 11 o'clock. Oh, my God.
For listening to this episode. We are going to have another one coming up on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have just heard an Around the Way Curls John. Follow them on Twitter at ATWCurls and Instagram at Around the Way Curls. We out early.
Very good.